Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
This is 12-6-2016.
Yep. It's the birthday of my twins, 26 years old today. Erica and Lauren, happy birthday.
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting you had twins.
Yeah. Can you believe I have a 26-year-old kid? Oh, I'm only 32.
Yeah, how did that happen?
I don't know. It's kind of screwed up here. But boy, we have a lot to talk about, my friend.
Yes, indeed.
We have the Italian referendum. By the way, that's not a dish that's available. It's not like a, you know, that's not like a Sunday dinner with meatballs and sausage and braciole.
The Italian referendum with some mushrooms.
Yeah, it's the Italian
referendum. You like some Parmigiano on your Italian referendum?
Yeah, we got three specials for you. You know what I mean? We got the Italian referendum. We got the bronzini. And we got the meatballs with the bolognese. The Italian referendum came in and it was a no. Actually, what was interesting, the most shocking thing out of all of this was, this is the one referendum poll, populist vote, whatever you want to call it, that actually was closest to the polls, and the Italians did it, which is amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
All the other ones were so far off. Well, here's what was supposed to happen. With the Italian referendum voting no, that they're basically Prime Minister Renzi is gonna leave, and he's gonna, you know, a new government potentially. There's gonna be all sorts of chaos, supposedly, just like when Trump came into office, just like when Brexit came. The euro was supposed to drop. Markets were supposed to drop. It was supposed to be terrible for the Italian banks, which I think that is still a bad thing for the Italian banks. And right after the vote, it looked pretty nasty for hours. Then?
For hours.
For hours. It was simply for hours. It was on Sunday this happened. Futures opened up down about 10 points on the S&P, about 15 or 20 points on the NASDAQ, 60, 70 points on the Dow. The euro was just getting crunched. And then it was like, oh, well, you know what? If the game plan is the same, maybe what we're supposed to do here is buy the crisis. Because we know this is going to be a really bad thing for Italy. It's going to be some real concern for the EU.
They thought it was, but you know, if you considered it bad news to do this, wouldn't you buy on bad news?
It seems that every time there's a crisis, you would almost believe that if things were status quo, the markets would go to hell in a handbasket. That all the things that were supposed to create massive turmoil in markets, and for good reason, with a lot of good research behind it, have turned into just, the hell with it. We just want a change and let's just buy. As a matter of fact, just an hour or so after the vote came in, I tweeted. You see what I tweeted?
No.
I have a little picture there over on dhunplugged.com. You can see all the show notes and all the things available from this episode and lots more. But I tweeted, if history is a guide, markets will attempt to rally on the news, even though this is not good news for the EU. Hashtag horseshit. But the bottom line is
that. I see the tweet. Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah. So that's
exactly
what happened. And honestly, I would not buy on this news. I don't think it was, you know, It was enough to tweet a theory on, but not to lay my money on.
I do that all the time.
So easy to do that. I'm a genius on Twitter. I'm a genius. But here's what happened. So there was definitely a drop down of the banks. There was a big concern there. But a day after, I think the Italian markets were down, I don't know, 1% on this news. One day later, it's up 4.5%. And we saw that the Milan benchmark fell initially 2%. And the whole thing is absolutely crazy. One reason could be is exactly what happened with Brexit. Remember what I said my theory was on Brexit? Was that everybody was so panicked about the potential for this whole global meltdown if Brexit was realized that the central banks pushed a ton of liquidity into the markets just prior and during. Well, the central bank bought a record monthly amount of assets under the quantitative easing program in November in an attempt to front load the purchase before any market liquidity dropped up during the holiday season. And by the way, in my opinion, because it was so concerned about this vote. So So once again, you know, it's like, I'm so sorry you have cancer. Well, here's like $5 million to make you feel better. And you feel better for a while, but then things catch up. Maybe not the best analogy, but...
No, not really.
Pretty awful, actually. But this is what's going on. They're basically liquefying the markets, pacifying the markets in hopes that a change will come that will be beneficial. And if it doesn't, in the meantime, we'll just put a lot of money out there and make sure there's a lot of liquidity and that markets will be happy. It's kind of like just give them a few drinks. They feel better. I don't know what your thoughts. Do you have any thoughts on this whole?
You know, I thought this whole thing kind of snuck up on everybody, at least everybody in the United States. Because it wasn't like a big, I mean, the Brexit thing was, it was months and months and months of preview. I mean, oh, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. This is going to happen. They talked about it a lot. This they've been talking about for a week and a half, maybe, instead of 6 months.
Yeah.
So it was like kind of a, like, what? Before you knew it, this all taken place. And so I never really gave it a lot of thought.
We have a few more of these. And this is now called this, and I want to ask, this is something I want to ask you about, this whole populist movement. What does that mean? I could look it up, of course, but I'm going to forget about looking it up. I'm done with the internet, by the way. I'm done.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Good.
I think that's anymore.
A plus.
Yeah. What is this whole populist thing? What does it mean, populist? The breakdown of it is what? We're popular, right? That means the majority, I would say, that wants something, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But what does this whole populist movement mean? Isn't it usually in a democracy that the population that is the majority of what somebody wants goes? So isn't that what it is anyway? Is it just democracy?
For something they hate, they get something that they like, which is populism. Populism means that I think what it refers to is actually the candidates appealing to the greatest greatest and lowest common denominator to pick up everybody. And also to promise things that would be popular if they could actually implement. Mm. Now, I think Obama was a populist, but they never called him that because he was a Democrat. And while Democrats in general over history tend to be where the populists show up, mm-hmm. as opposed to Republicans, which mm-hmm. are rarely populists. It's been reversed. It's been switched. In fact, there was a study that I saw on the Twitters about done by Pew Research showing that the working class Americans, 51% of them now support Democrat, or 51% of the groups say that they think that the Democrats could help them. And then 75%, which is the same group plus more, say that the Republicans can help them. Well, that would never be the case in the 50s. Working class would be all in on the Democrats. What would happen? This has changed over, just much like the populist thing has. So I don't know what's going on. There's been some good write-ups about how the Democrats are really appealing more to the white-collar worker and the bankers and Wall Street.
It's so upside down.
Yeah.
The baseline Republican / Democratic way of, well, I'm a Democrat because of, and then you fill in the blank. Well, I'm, you know, an average guy, or at least I believe in being liberal. And, I believe in maybe not such a hardcore, hardline financial side of things. I'm more about the public at large and what's good for the people and all that. And the Republicans, right, what were they? They were much more conservative in terms of a little bit more control and a little bit more of a, you know, involved in the, we'll call it the much higher white collar. It's like upside down.
Yeah, it's completely reversed. Mm. So it's almost like watch a football game where the momentum changes.
It's crazy. Before we go on, I need to ask you something because I think you're the right person to talk to about this. Bow ties.
Uh-oh.
So I had a big event this weekend. It was the Winterfest Gala. And I decided, you know, I'm going to get a new bow tie. I'm going to get something seasonal, something a little bit more festive for the holiday season.
Uh-huh.
So I went to Dillard's and I couldn't really find anything. But I found a nice kind of striped, reddish with a little bit of a green, something a little more festive, you know, but it wasn't
festive bow tie.
Yeah, but it wasn't too festive. It wasn't like, it didn't sing songs or anything like that. Or you could.
First of all, let's start from the beginning. Is this a bow tie you would actually tie?
That's the problem.
Okay.
So they had a tremendous selection at Dillard's of bow ties.
That you could actually tie.
You could tie. Yeah. Very small selection. You were either wearing the black bow tie, the white bow tie, or the red bow tie that was tied. You know, that was
the, yeah, and that's just as lame as for just rented tuxes.
Yeah. So I said, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to figure how hard can this be? Yeah. So I bought two bow ties, not cheap, $40 a piece, by the way, for a little rag that's cut out.
I think
out.
It's because they're so hard to sew.
I don't know what it is, but it's ridiculous.
Yeah, they're not cheap. They never have been.
So I decide, where am I going to get? I asked the guy, can you tie a bow tie? I figured he could tie it for me and then I could put it on myself, right? No, no, no. Anybody in the department? No, no, no. All right, fine. So now I got to do some thinking.
Okay, I'm sure YouTube has a million tutorials.
It does. But I figured, you know what? I'm going to go to somewhere I think they could do it. So I figured the hipsters know how to do this, right? They have the bow ties. So I go to my barber, who's a bunch of hipsters. You know, they got the beards. They got kind of all the tight, you know, skinny jeans and all that stuff. And, you know, you walk in and they offer you a free PBR beer. You know, you're right there, right? Who knows how to tie a bow tie? They're all grousing around, wondering, I don't know. I'll try it. So they all start getting on their YouTube. I'm thinking, all right, they'll do the YouTube. They'll get it real quick, right? I put $10 on the table as a challenge fee. An hour later, I walked out with two untied bow ties. Okay. So I decided, where else can I go? Where else do they have? Who else ties bow ties? So there was a gospel church around the corner. And these guys usually wear bow ties, I figure, right?
Some of them.
So I go in there and then it was a Saturday. They weren't open. So then I went to another place that I know a bunch of progressives hang out. And I walked in and said, hey, do you know how to tie a bow tie? He said, oh, yes, I do. I used to work at Banana Republic. Now, I don't know what the relationship and correlation is between Banana Republic and bow ties tying, but I said, okay. So he tied it for me. Now, this is going on about a three-hour ordeal at this point, trying to get this bow tie tied. Yeah. Okay? I went home. I tried to tighten up the bow tie. It looked like crap. I said, you know what? I'm going to do the YouTube myself. I went on three different ones. It is not an easy task. Now, do you know how to do this?
No, no. It's actually, I remember bow ties when they were actually popular, not this new popularity, but this is in the 70s. And I learned to tie a bow tie, and it is a pain in the ass. There's a trick to it. I can't remember what it is. I couldn't tie one now.
Terrible. I ended up going to the drawer, finding actually something that was festive that I didn't, I guess I never wore before. And I just used the pre-tied one and the hell with the other one, sending them back to Dillard's.
Somebody gave up easy.
Oh, I gave 4 hours total time trying to do this and my arms were killing me. I said, I'm not doing this. Let me ask you something. Did you hear that you could tie it like a shoe, like a bow on a shoe?
There is actually, it's actually like tying a shoe. It's exactly the same.
Yeah, somebody said you could do it like that. I was trying also to other things where you bend it, you know, you tie it, then you put it in half, then you put it up in blood, then you put it behind it. I'm not interested.
Well, you could have just draped it around your neck untied. Yeah, that's kind of cool.
I could have done that. Like, oh, yeah, I just untied it. You know,
it's so hot in here.
It was kind of a fun event. I was with Captain Lee from Below Deck. I took some videos with him. And it was quite the event.
What was this event? I kind of lost track of it after the bow tie story.
Yeah, it was the Winterfest Boat Parade Annual Gala. Well, it opens
you,
up. It,
you yep. had to wear. Why don't you just wear a regular tie? Did you have to have a bow tie?
It's a black
were you
tie.
A tux?
I was wearing a tux. It's a black tie.
Well, actually, you know, nowadays, if you get the right tie, like a silver one or one of those gold lamés, you can wear that instead of a bow tie on the tux.
And I have those shirts to wear it with. But I just thought my wife wanted me to wear a tux and a bow tie. I'm like, okay. It was a nice event. It was fun. Good food. Good dancing or music or whatever you call it. Anyway, moving along.
Well, thanks for that wonderful story.
Thank you. You're welcome. India, removing its. And by the way, I don't think I'm going to India this summer now, which is another story from the event. Let's just say that I couldn't tie a bow tie, but I could tie one on. Let's just say that. Okay, you understand what I'm saying here?
I like it.
Yeah. I ended up somehow by the end of the night buying a cruise on Azamara for like $5,500.
What, you got stuck in one of those auctions?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I was feeling good. And my hand was obviously going up without my knowledge.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, but it's like an $8,000 cruise. So I'm going to go on one of those. I'm going to go to Greek islands and Slovenia and Croatia.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Anyway, India is removing its largest currency bills from circulation.
But yeah, I know they're taking they're crazy. Going a cashless. Yeah,
86% of the cash has been outlawed.
Yeah, I know, it's funny.
Which is unbelievable. And then, you know, they're trying, this is the thing that the governments are telling people is we're doing this because these large bills are really involved in criminal activity and black market schemes.
Yeah, and buying flat panel TVs.
I mean, is it, you know, you go to your drug dealer like, hey, I only got 100. I only got hundreds. Now, is that how this works? I mean, you can't say, well, I got 50s, I got 25, 20s, and I don't get it.
It's bull crap.
The whole thing's bull crap. So anyway, there's a lot of a major outcry over what's going on there. They say they may, in fact, have some new bills on the way, but it's not assured. And I don't know why they would. Why would they put new bills on if the whole point was to get rid of the black market? I don't. You know what? How? Why would they say they're going to put out new bills if they're doing it for a reason?
Maybe they want to go to plastic. I don't know.
Actually, there are some plastic bills.
Canada.
Wait, I have a story here. There's something somewhere on here. Let me see if I find the plastic bills.
They want us to go to plastic. I think Canada. And no, I
Britain.
Think
UK.
No, Canada. Canada. I've got some Canadian plastic bills. Yes, Britain has them too.
Well, there's a big problem. So they have a new plastic five-pound note bearing the portrait of wartime Prime Minister Winston Churchill. And people are pissed off.
Why?
It seems that they use some animal fats in the manufacture of these bills.
Oh, right. There's some animal fat in the plastic.
What kind of? Well, who puts animal fat in plastic? Why would anybody do that?
I think it's part of a polymer of some sort that they needed for this plastic. It's just a chemical. I have no idea. I've never heard of this either, but I can believe it.
So now all the vegans are freaking out.
Why? They're not eating the bills, are they? Well, that's pathetic.
Yeah, you're touching it. Or you're doing something with it. So.
But they're touching it. So what?
People are, you know, and the people that, you know, love the animals, all those people with the dog videos on Facebook that love animals so much. They're crazy. They have nothing else to complain about. They got to complain about something. You know how it is.
I don't know how the word ever got out about the tallow.
Yeah, how they figure out how this is made. Is there like an ingredient list on the back?
It could be bull crap. Could be just a lie. Has the government said that they have tallow in their plastic?
I don't think I saw that part of the story, no. But people are just mad. And you know what? It is possible that because there's been a lot of stuff. As a matter of fact, let's skip down to
fake
this story.
News.
This fake news. I'm disgusted with this whole fake news. We know the news has been questionable in some areas, and any blogger or any tweeter or any Facebooker or anybody out there could throw anything they want up anywhere, right?
Yep.
But some of the stuff, it's kind of like, who would want to purposely put up something that is so easily disproven? For what point? For what is the, for, is it just to get clicks to your site? Because, you know, if you get a lot of clicks, you're like a, you know, big man. Or is it because you get advertising dollars or something? I mean, I don't understand what the point is. And if you do get advertising dollars, don't you think that the people are going to figure out that you have fake news and not click on there again? The whole thing, I just don't understand the logic for this.
I don't think the logic's any different than it used to be when people used to do these hoaxes on the internet. You know, the internet hoax. Oh, you've got a virus. If you see a little panda bear here on the subdirectory, that means you've been infected.
Yeah.
You know, these people pass this stuff around. And it goes from person to person to person. Oh, my God, check to see if you don't have a little panda bear. And I don't see that's any different than that. I don't see, you know, somebody could just dream something up and puts it out there as a gag. April Fool's is all fake news.
Listen, my mother called me last week in a panic. She says, I went out to the dinner. I come back. I open up my computer and it says, you've been infected with a virus. Call immediately this number. Do not use your cell phone or any other devices unless you're just calling us directly. Because you can possibly infect them if you use them now. Panics. She gets on the phone with them. They convince her to do some kind of a log me in session or something like that. And says, oh, yes, you have been affected. Here's the page. They wanted $799 to clean her computer from this horrible virus. Can you believe this?
Yeah.
And she said, when she called me and I did a run through on her stuff and she had nothing there.
Of course not.
Yeah. Unbelievable. But
unless she gave them remote access.
Well, that's the problem. And I looked to see if there's any other programs installed. I made sure that nothing else was running, that nothing has been installed unless it's totally hidden. Which is possible. But I had to calm her down. She was freaking out. She wasn't going to use her phone. She wasn't going to do this. It's like, why can't you use your phone? What's wrong with using your phone? They say it's going to be effective. And even after I showed her, she says, are you sure it's not? That, do you think I should call them? I'm like, are you kidding me? I don't understand. I don't understand what you like, what you think here. But that's fake, false advertising and scams. But, you know, when fake news gets deadly, maybe somebody will actually start doing something like what happened in Salisbury, North Carolina. Edgar Welch, a 28-year-old father of two, recently read online that the Comet Ping Pong, a pizza restaurant in Northwest Washington, was harboring young children as sex slaves as a part of a child abuse ring led by Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is part of that Pizzagate nonsense.
And what does he do? Do you know what he did?
He went over there with an AR. He went to rescue the kids.
Yep, with an AR-15 and started shooting.
Yeah.
I mean,
release the children. What an idiot.
But the bigger question is, I hope that that they can get to the bottom of who wrote this news item, right? And charge them with attempted murder. Don't you think that this person was negligent that wrote the news?
Well, it would be a homicide of some sort. It wouldn't be attempted murder because you actually have to do the shooting. It could be, there's other.
Accessory to murder.
It'd be a lot of. Accessory to murder.
It'd be accessory to murder. But somebody should actually come down on somebody and, you know, do something about this because this is just not acceptable.
This does happen. Now, the woman who wrote that Rolling Stone article about the bullcrap non-rape that took place up at that college up there.
Right.
And got the woman, so she was ruined some chancellor of the university's life, University of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And she got sued. And she probably pretty much, she's going to be never work again kind of suit. She was an idiot. And she wasn't knowingly doing fake news. A lot of people aren't. They just, you know, report, somebody lied to her and she just bought into it, hook, line, and sinker.
I think there's a difference between news that is reported, reporting information that you believe to be true versus reporting or writing information that you believe has no truth to it at all.
No, the people that do the Pizzagate all believe it to be true because they extrapolated from some WikiLeaks letters and memos. They've just dreamed, you know, they've imagined codes and they've done a bunch of stuff that it's a very believable scenario that
Hillary
created.
Clinton has a pizza restaurant chain with sex slavery going on in it.
The Hillary Clinton thing is an exaggeration.
Okay. Okay. Of the pizza
restaurant. Yeah, she wasn't owner of that pizza place, but there was a bunch of, she had an office in the area or something. Believe me, I can see where you could get to that by extrapolating and extrapolating and extrapolating and then interpreting and interpreting and interpreting. Worst case scenario. Boom. Next thing you know, you're a big promoter of global warming.
Oh, God. Well, on the lighter side of news, Amazon is testing no cashiers. They have a new product called Just Walk Out. It's a technology that's able to, maybe some of you have seen this already, it's called, it's kind of like Amazon Go. Basically, it's launching in a beta this year that there's going to be available to Amazon employees only in a single 1,800 square foot location in Seattle. They're talking about maybe opening up 2,000 locations in the future. If you watch the video, basically people walk in, you swipe a card for identification, and then somehow there's some scanning that goes on. You don't scan it yourself. You just take the stuff and you put it in your bag or you put it in your back pocket or whatever you do. And when you take the stuff, it rings it up, you walk out and you get charged and you're done.
Right. It's got those little RFID, they're very, very small, like thin RFID devices that are the same ones they're putting on luggage, I think, are for American Airlines. One of the airlines has adopted this, so they can just, through induction, they can figure out where your bag is at all times because it's got one of these little tags.
Now, what's interesting.
So they just put every one of those tags on every product and you. Yeah.
Now, what's interesting about this is, first of all, we'll kill jobs.
Here's the problem.
Yeah.
If you wanted to be a crook,
You
would just have some aluminum foil.
Yeah, like or a jammer.
Or a jammer, and you would just draw, you know, or one of those bags. Those bags that are Faraday bag, and you just drop it into the bag, or have your whole backpack just be a Faraday cage. With that special fabric you can buy, and then drop your stuff in there, and then just walk out. They're not going to notice anything.
Now everybody's got. Everybody's going goo-goo about this. Like, oh, look at this unbelievable new technology, right?
It's not very new.
Well, I did a little bit of research on this. Do you know when the first time I saw any kind of inference to this on the web? That is, it was 2006 with IBM, looking at RFID shopping of the future videos.
Yeah, makes sense.
It's kind of like you know, Jeff Bezos is traveling through Tomorrowland. You know, I'm talking at Disney World and stuff. And
yeah, ended up in Frontierland.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, look what I found here. Oh, this is a good idea. I could set up two-way video conferencing. And I remember, by the way, going through that ball in Epcot when I was like, wow, one day in the future, we're going to have the ability to, like, talk to somebody face-to-face on the phone, you know, on a video screen. I'm like, that's pretty cool. That was only, like, what, 10 years ago, 15 years ago?
I first saw a video call when I was a little kid. And they had AT&T had a video conferencing system in Disneyland. I think this was like in the 60s.
Yeah, right, I remember that. You walked into in tomorrow. You go downstairs to the thing, and you could talk to somebody somewhere. Or did you talk to the host?
No, there was supposed to be some other setup in New York or somewhere. You'd get to talk to somebody. They were on this little black and white screen.
So
and this was going to be the future.
Yeah, it is the future. Did you think the Amazon thing is it has legs?
No, I don't think so, because it's just as I described. It's too easy to cheat it.
Well, they must be thinking about that. It's not like they're setting this up saying, oh, this is just...
I wonder.
Maybe. Yeah. But
Google's always doing some bonehead thing, and then people say, this is no good. It's violating our... Oh, well, geez, we never even thought of that. They don't have anybody that thinks outside the box at these companies, and so if nobody thinks of it, nobody's going to... No, there's not going to be any outliers that'll point this out.
Do you think that if it is a success, just for a moment, let's go out there. If it is a success, do you think that one of the really cool things for Amazon will be that they can figure out how to resell this and help out other retailers to, in other words, instead of using this as their own stores, sell it as, which I don't know if they'll do this, but sell it as a technology wraparound or wrapper for your store, like to no. Macy's or whatever.
I think this would be something IBM would do, not Amazon. Mm.
All right. Well, let's talk about oil for a second. You know, when you had that report that OPEC was actually going to cut down production, and then we saw that, what the production they're going to cut is from the increases of production that they've been ramping up the last few months. So the cuts are really going to just be on possibly the ramp up that they've had. Oil rallied pretty hard because everybody was all goo-goo about it. Already... Just after the agreement was November, what was November 30th? What do we have? December 6th. November 30th, the agreement was, okay, we are cutting production by this amount, et cetera. Already reports that they're increasing production.
Well, that should drop the oil prices tomorrow.
Yeah, well, it's been dropping a little bit the last couple of days, but it's amazing. These guys just can't quit. But in this market environment, the things don't seem to want to go down for any reason, especially if you're a bank. Financials are doing amazingly well. The yield spread is, kind of opening up a little bit. Last week, we saw that the unemployment rate went to 4.6% with 170,000 new jobs added. Now, that 4.6% is a little bit deceiving. We've talked about this. The labor participation rate dropped again. A lot of people leaving the workforce. But still, 4.6%, however you want to slice it, and if you want to do all the statistical math behind it and come up with all the reasons why, et cetera, it's still 4.6%. That's pretty good.
Not to me.
Now, what do you want it to be, 2?
No, these numbers are bogus. I think that 4.6 is nuts. People all they're bailing out more and more and more, and so that number keeps dropping and dropping and dropping. I would go look at shadow stats again.
Yeah.
Not that I do this constantly, but I'm going to do it again.
All right, let me hear. I'll keep up with you here. Shadowstats.com, right?
Shadowstats.com.
And where do you go? To alternative data, unemployment. There it is. And what are we on? The official U3 is, 4.6. What do they have? Let's see. Shadows unemployment. Oh, there you go. That's pretty ugly.
Yeah, it's what, still 23%. It actually hasn't moved a bit. It has not moved down one iota since 2010, when it peaked at about 21%. Now it's about 22.5%, and it hasn't moved. It has not moved.
Yeah, you can draw a line pretty much. Actually, if you really want to, if you really want to look at this, it almost looks like a trend. It's trending a little higher. I mean,
I have not to me. I don't see that, but it's. I think it's pretty steady. But it's not dropping. That's for sure. I mean, ever since Obama got in 2008, you can see everything was pretty even. They were all kind of this, the spacing between the three charts here, the three lines, the three whatever. They're all pretty close to each other. They don't change. The distances don't change. And then all of a sudden, in 2008, when we get the little flip up with the, I guess it's the U6, this thing goes up and keeps going up. And keeps going up, and it gets to 22.5% and stays there, and it's still there. So what's wrong with this number? I mean, I hear once, oh, the guy cheats. The guys, the numbers aren't right.
Let me ask you a question. If the unemployment rate, and let's just go with the thought that a lot of people know that there's some questionable statistics that are being applied to the unemployment rate. And let's go ahead and also discuss that maybe the economy is doing okay, but not great. And let's finally discuss that we also know the shenanigans that are being played with the financial markets in terms of the underlying financial valuations and earnings numbers, right? So there's a lot of shenanigans going on, right? Let's just go with that for a second. Why does everybody keep on saying that things are so good then, or at least not that, you know, maybe they're not terrible, but they're good. And just keep on buying into all this. It's the same thing that happened with the oil, where we knew that they were going to cheat and do all sorts of crazy stuff. But everybody's like, well, we're just going to listen to what they say and just buy into it. Are people that stupid?
I think that you're, I don't know why what you're saying, because you used to be one of the biggest complainers about negative input from the president.
I am complaining. No, I agree with you. What I'm saying is I agree that there is a lot of bogus data.
I think that I think what you said like a few years ago, which is that the government should be doing cheerleading as opposed to scaring everybody. I think that's what they're doing. Unfortunately, they're doing it with the stats. Mm. But they can't come out. And if you look at these old numbers, the whatever the shadow stats thing calls itself, you can't come out. Well, we got 22.5% unemployment, which is the real number. Because the logic is, and everybody knows this, it's kind of stupid. If you have 10 people and one of them's out of work, that would be a 10% unemployment rate. And if you have 10 people and three of them are out of work, that would be, you'd think, a 30% unemployment rate. But if two of them decide, I'm not even looking for work, then you're back to 10%. How does that work? You got three people out of a job, but only a 10% unemployment rate.
Yeah, the whole thing is I agree with you, is insane. But what I still wonder is, why does do most people follow along the bogus data, like, okay, we're just going along with it? And this seems to be something that has happened over the last 10 years.
Gentleman's agreement.
It's back to that again.
I think so.
Just, you know what?
What else could it be?
As long as I'm making money, don't rock the boat.
Yeah. What else do you want me to do, boss?
Yeah. But banks are still doing well. Bank of America is up 32% in the last month. Financial ETF is up over 18% in the last 30 days. I like that.
Yeah.
But here's what's really interesting.
According
to CNBC, over the last month, the Dow Jones is up, what, about 1,200 points or so, right? Since the election or so. Interestingly, about half of that advance has been produced by like four stocks. 655 points from just actually three names. Let's see, we have Goldman Sachs. Stock is up 26.5%. This is because, number one, the yield curve has expanded. They believe that a lot of the people that are getting into various high offices and placement are from Goldman Sachs and very financial sector friendly.
Yeah,
and
not
you
a
got
bad
the yield
bet.
Curve moving and all this other good, you know, shenanigans, plus possibly the retraction of Dodd-Frank. Goldman Sachs added 320 points to the Dow. Now, United Healthcare, it's up 15%, is on 150 points. Caterpillar, 17%, added 95 points, and J.P. Morgan added 90 points. So, yeah, those up, it's, you know, half the entire move. So, four stocks, 10% of the stocks are 50% of the returns.
Oh.
I like that.
Well, something's got to account for it. It looks good, though.
Oh, it looks great. Looks really good. It makes me feel good.
In fact, if I look at the heat map, let me look at the heat map of the market, which I always think is kind of amusing. It's pretty green.
Is it monthly or is it? Well, Google's not in the Dow. We're talking about the Dow primarily.
Oh, no, this is just a generalized heat map.
Mm-hmm.
Everything except technologies. Technologies mixed.
Yeah, it's been a little bit weaker. Now, before we get on to a couple other things that are important, of course, you can find all the information and links, charts, games that we play, all the good stuff we have here over on DH Unplugged. You can follow John on Twitter at The Real Dvorak. Myself on Twitter, it's Andrew Horowitz, just one word. Let's talk for a second about this warehouse fire that killed kind of in your area over there or your general
Oakland.
Vicinity. Killed about 36 people. Now, what's interesting about this is that at first it was kind of like, you know, I think everybody was like, well, it's a warehouse. What's the difference? You know, what is that? You know, okay. And then everybody starts realizing that people are maybe some people that were in there and maybe even, I don't know, maybe people were living there and squatting or something, right? And now we're finding out.
They weren't squatting.
Right.
Yeah.
Now we're finding out that this ghost ship, they called it, is just one of many of illegal dwellings in Oakland area. I guess it's called the Fruitvale neighborhood, that people are living in because rents have been going crazy there and people can't afford to rent. So I guess instead of being homeless, they're you know, going to into these shelters that are not meant to be lived in.
Right.
Or not shelters, warehouses.
Or whatever.
Terrible.
It's hard to imagine how much of that's going on, but lots.
And there's no proper bathrooms or showers for all those people.
No, there's no, it's a fire trap, obviously.
Right, because this one was a warehouse plus everybody else's junk that they put in there. It's like stairs were like made out of, pallets and stuff. Yeah, right? Crazy. Which are highly flammable.
Nothing like that. Yeah, they're more or less kindling, especially the way they're designed.
Yep. All right, by the way, everybody should listen to this. So at the end of year show, the last show of the year, one of the things we're going to do is read your responses to why do you listen to DH Unplugged? And we have an actual place that you can go into the site and you can actually click on, put your name in and why I listen to DH Unplugged, what you like about it, what you don't like about it, whatever it may be, what gets you listening each and every week. And we're going to read it off with your name and all that on the last show. We got a lot of good ones in. Most people like you a lot more than they like me, it seems.
I'm likable.
Yeah, well.
You're as likable as I am. I don't know why that would be.
They've been very kind. There's some really funny ones, actually. The one I got in this week that I haven't shared them all with you. I'm going to kind of pile them up and send them all to you. I was like, one of the reasons I like it is because of the news. And he goes through this whole thing. And he's, and I like it because of this. And I like it because of that. And, you know, one of the things really that I like about it is when I lay at night, it really helps me go to sleep.
Oh, bad.
Yeah. That was kind of an interesting thing. But what's also interesting is a lot of people have been tracking back and tracing back where they first heard you or I.
You know, just to stop you for a second, you know, I would assume if somebody's listening to the show and they fall asleep to it, probably the last 15 minutes of the show, they're probably out.
Yeah.
Might be a good time to start dropping hypnotic suggestions.
Or we should use like a bullhorn and wake their asses up.
Well, you could do that, but they're not going to. I think that you'd get more out of the hypnotic suggestions.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you're the king of that, so think about what you'd
like
to do.
I don't know about being the king, that's for sure, but I think it'd be a good idea. Anyway, go on.
We'll read that. Go over to DH Unplugged right now. Please do me a favor. It just takes a second. It doesn't cost you anything. We want to know a little bit more so we can make sure we're doing the right things for you and all that because, of course, we're very highly paid on this network, and we want to make sure that the show continues.
Yeah. What network?
The network.
The two of us.
Yeah, the two of us.
The two of us network.
A schmuck network. Okay, let's see. Closer to the Pin is coming up. The last DH Unplugged. Now, you have gotten your last official email from us today if you have qualified. Now, by the way, there are some people that seem to have snuck in and entered their price guess for the Dow Jones Industrial
Average.
But they're
not qualified to be a member. So they snuck on the golf course?
No worries. Yep, no worries. We will delete them.
Snuck on the golf course?
Yep, snuck on the ninth hole. And trying to make a go out of it. But anyway, there's about, I don't know, 15, I guess maybe 15 or 18 people that have qualified. So now listen, it's till December 10th. And after that, no more. So therefore, you have to make sure to get in your guests if you want to be a part of the final tally. I think about 8 or 9 people so far. So probably, I would personally wait till the last day to know where things stand. But or the day before. So you have until the 10th.
You might start catching a trend at the last second.
So there you go. We're going to have a bunch of things.
Although I think the trend is underway.
Yeah, it seems that way. Seems that way. Just gentleman's agreement. Just remember.
I wonder if it's going to hit 20,000 before the end of the year. Like, it doesn't seem to want to go up that much anymore. I think if it gets to 19.5, it'll be a miracle.
I mean, there's definitely been a lot of pressure almost every morning on the downside. Not every morning, but there's been pressure. Nothing terrible, but pressure. And then about 10:30 comes, everybody's like, here we go. Let's just push it on up and just rock it through the rest of the day. But I just can't imagine all that money staying in there for that long of a period of time, especially with some of the things you have coming up towards the end of the year. But again, because there may be some tax cuts next year, I think that maybe we may see some of the losers, people selling those now because of the taxes are higher now. You want to sell your losers to get the better tax break, right?
Yeah, good point.
And keep your winners until next year. So I would watch for those things that have been working in 2016, let's say, and maybe even longer, to be held a little bit longer. And those things that haven't been working, whatever that may be, start being sold off. Let's see here. Oh, have you been watching Saturday Night Live with the Trump openings?
Not really. I don't know what Saturday Night Live is. Just seems to be. I don't know. I think they've jumped the shark some time ago, and I just don't find it that entertaining.
I still find the sketches in the beginning with Donald Trump.
Yeah, the Hillary woman is quite funny. She's a character.
And now they have what's his head of his campaign.
Rance Priebe, the woman.
With the crazy hair.
Yeah, Kellyanne.
Yeah, she it was him and her, and there was some people coming in and saying, "Mr. Trump, do you think maybe we should stop tweeting so much? I can't stop tweeting. The media slander me. They just I'm just going to keep on tweeting, and this whole thing about tweeting was very, very funny. Anyway, he tweeted today. Is what he said. There's a little picture of his tweet there. It says, Boeing is building a brand new 747 Air Force One for future presidents. I think they were building two. But costs are out of control. More than $4 billion. Cancel order, exclamation point.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sending Boeing on a little roller coaster.
Yeah, but the point is, can he just cancel the contract? I still don't understand how this all works anymore.
No, what he would do? No, he can't really do anything. But once his guy gets into the Pentagon, he can just tell him to cancel it, and he'll cancel it.
How could he cancel it if they signed a contract already?
Oh, because they're over budget. You can cancel contracts if they go over budget. Usually, you don't do that because canceling being half pregnant. But there's usually if the contract was written properly, and I'm sure it was, even though Trump thinks nobody can do it but him. I'm sure they could get out of it if they wanted to.
And this is the Pentagon, by the way, who recently buried internal studies that exposed $125 billion in administrative waste in its business operations. And they're burying this because they're fearing that Congress will find this as an excuse to slash the defense budget. Now, they're worried that Congress is going to slash a budget and there are $125 billion in waste. And they're worried about somebody. Oh my God, wouldn't it be awful if they slashed our budget? Hello?
Well, here's the real problem, and I think somebody's going to have to address this. I don't know whether Trump will or not, but the Pentagon hasn't been audited for, I don't know, a decade or more. And they know that this sort of thing is going on. This is completely out of control, and they can't seem to do anything about it because they can't audit them. And then the excuse has been so far, this computer system's not compatible with that computer system. Our data won't be compatible with that data. This data won't be this and that. We can't consolidate the numbers. We don't know what to do. We're going to have to get a new computer system. It's going to cost $100 million, and we got to get the programs to consolidate the COBOL with the this and with the that. And
but how do you get to $125 billion? How do you get to $125 billion in waste? We're not talking about $100 million.
I know it's $125 billion, and I just says $100 million to make the computer system. The $125 billion in waste. Yeah, I'm sure it doesn't surprise me. They need to be audited. They need to be audited. We're probably squandering the defense budget. I think is coming up at $630 billion for the next year, and they're probably squandering at least $100, maybe $200 billion of that.
On what?
I think we'd be a lot better off. If we don't.
I mean,
corruption.
Who's getting the money? Just it is funneling through the companies
back. Boeing and Grumman and all these companies. I'm sure that's a lot of it. And then all these weird contractors whose names you've never heard of. You know, there's all these little companies. You hear them every once in a while. What do these guys do? Well, they make the widget software that makes sure the salt shakers are filled in the commissary. And then you look at their numbers. They're a $200 million company making salt shaker software. I mean, it's everywhere. It's a disaster.
Moving along, speaking of like these kinds of situations when you have wasteful spending and no oversight, it seems that a former information technology worker at Expedia Monday pled guilty to securities fraud, and he was doing something that he was going through top executives' email and then finding information about maybe some of the deals that were being done. I don't know how you get access to this stuff and why there's so much of this email stuff going around. That's available.
Oh, it's very easy to get access to, I'm sure.
Why is it so necessary to put things in email these days when it's so easy to break into them? The stupidity factor is so
I've
thick.
Brought this up on the No Agenda show. If you ever worked with an attorney on anything that's really important, they tell you never to put anything in email. You should talk to them on the phone. Because at least if it's on the phone, the only way they're going to get that information is through a wiretap, which has to be legal.
Right.
And the email, they get it through discovery.
Mm-hmm. Stupid. Stupid.
But people don't seem to have a clue.
Well, Wells Fargo is, by the way, rising also with the rest of the bank stocks. But they made a nice little maneuver recently. They're able to keep some of the lawsuits at bay because they're moving all the cases to arbitration. So in other words, basically they're getting away with a lot of this, going to keep it under the radar from public, you know, because it goes to arbitration. It's not public in the court system. So they're going to be able to keep it under the radar from the whole public viewing and really basically paying a few bucks here, going to arbitration, going through the process, paying a few people off, whatever it is. But essentially going to get away with this and like, who cares? I mean,
the company should just fold.
Basically, everybody forgot about this already. We're more concerned, you know, about, Christmas lights, the new lazy man's Christmas light of putting up a laser in our front yard to shine on our house.
Yeah.
How pathetic is that?
Target. Yeah, I know, it is pretty pathetic.
I mean, I saw a few. I'm like, that doesn't even look good. Do people think that looks good?
Are there any in your neighborhood?
Oh, they're in our neighborhood. I'm like, I went to somebody, I'm like, you like it? I'm like, oh, wow, that's awesome. I was like, yeah, it was like $45 and I didn't have to put up lights this year and stuff like that. And then I look across the street, they got all these white lights and the nice lights on the tree. I'm like, look how beautiful that looks. And then look at this fakakta laser thing.
Ugh. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Well, they have a little indoor one that you can put on, aim at your tree. That's only $20.
I mean, if you want to put it there, that's fine. But don't try to like make it look like, oh, it looks like Christmas lights and beautiful lighting of our house. I don't think so. And they have infomercials for this too, which is crazy.
Yeah, I know. I've seen all this stuff. I've seen the infomercials. I've seen the devices.
Yeah. Quick problem. Egypt still has a problem with, it seems to be, human organ trafficking. About 45 people were arrested. And recovered millions of dollars in a dawn raid on Tuesday. And there was doctors, nurses, middlemen, organ buyers. And this is, I guess, something that goes on in many of these poor countries where, like, you know, I have the money, so I'll sell you one of my kidneys. Or maybe against your will, possibly, I assume, you know. We have to do a little surgery. We're going to do a little dental implant. And the next thing you wake up, you're like, why do I have that cut on my side?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go on to a few more things. It's from the weird side of news. I got a couple of things here that I think are pretty interesting. Okay. It seems that an elementary school in Baltimore is using meditation instead of traditional punishments. The school says that instead of actually going and if Johnny beat up, you know, David, and what you'd usually get is maybe some kind of a discipline where you'd be expelled or possibly you'd have to do an after school punishment of sit in a room quiet for a week or something like that, or who knows, right? Now they said they're going to use meditation.
Huh.
Back to participation trophies, it looks like to me. Should hit the kid across the damn mouth with your fist and then break his fingers with a ruler. That's what I say.
Well, you got the old-fashioned things going on there with that.
Yep. Now, in Canada, you want to talk about, this is cruel and unusual punishment, by the way, this next discussion. If you are caught impaired driving in Kensington, which is a province of Prince Edward Island, you know, a wonderful place for Ersters, right? They said in a Facebook post, they said, listen, for those dumb enough to drink and then drive, when we catch you, and we will catch you, they said, on top of a hefty fine, a criminal charge, and years driving suspension, we will also provide you with a bonus gift of playing the office copies of Nickelback on the cruiser on the way back to jail. How ridiculous is that?
That's what?
Yeah. They're saying they're going to torture them with playing copies of Nickelback. They're not that bad. Nickelback, okay. Is it? I didn't understand. It's supposed to be funny.
I don't, it's a joke. If it's a facetious post.
Yeah. Two more things. Here's something that I think actually, if someone could find this, or maybe even the sausage flavor, but it seems that KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken, has now made a fried chicken scented candle.
I think I heard about this.
A fried chicken. Now, there's some kind of publicity stunt where they're going to give one away, but I found a picture of it.
Is it just a candle made from chicken fat?
I have no idea, but it can't be just chicken fat. It's got to have also the crunchy smell to it. You know, that breading. So maybe it's breading and chicken fat. I don't know. You burn it and you get fried chicken smell. I'd go for that. You see that picture? You can find this picture.
I like it when you have – I have seen it. I'm going to look at the picture. I think it would be they should have a special candle for the few stores, although there are probably more than a few, that – where's the picture? I don't see the picture.
On the bottom, fried chicken candle. It's a giant blue button.
Oh, there it is. There it is. I'm sorry. You get it interrupted with something else. Is that – yeah, that's great. Is that some of these stores that let their oil get rancid and when you drive by them, it just stinks? You should have that candle.
You know what? How about an Egg McMuffin alarm clock candle? Wake up to the smell of an Egg McMuffin.
Oh, horrible Egg McMuffin.
Yeah. All right, and finally, before we get to the stocks imagine. And all that, here's
fried
how it's done.
Chicken.
This is. Tell me if there was never, if I ever had a reason why, like, why the hell would anybody use one of those? I think this is it. This is, I got it. Now I understand. A drone in a Danish prison. This guy flew a load of illegal items to an inmate cell on the fourth floor of this prison. He carried two mobile phones, a saw blade, and various bolts. And was successfully delivered to an inmate through the cell's window on Tuesday night before just took off and disappeared.
On a drone?
Yeah.
Well, that's a great idea.
Is that perfect? Just fly right in there. You put the little. You don't have to bring in a cake anymore with the saw blade.
No, and I can see they think those things are secure because it's so way up in the air and you can't get up there anyway. And you can't get into the prison.
And by the way,
fly the drone over. Yeah, fly the drone over the fence and over to the guy's cell.
What kind of prison has windows that open out? Don't they usually have those sealed?
Well, I always imagine the prison cells they're talking about, even though this is no prison like this. I think they have a little, maybe it flips open a little bit out. Or maybe it's one of those like an angle and a bottom opens up kind of. Mm. You know, you just crank the handle. I mean, I would think that the classic would be, you know, just there's no window at all. It's just cement, some bars and in a cement cell and it's open air.
Like in a Western. But,
yeah, in a Western, exactly. Like,
well, that would be even better. The drone will attach some kind of like a line with and just, you know, bring it out to some truck, drop it down, and the truck just pulls the whole wall out.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, before we get to the stocks, and we're going to talk about that in a second, as well as all the different things, you can find everything here, of course, on dhunplugged.com. You can follow John at The Real Dvorak on Twitter, myself, Andrew Horowitz. You can listen to John on The New Agenda Show with Adam Curry on Thursdays and on Sundays live, and myself on the Disciplined Investor podcast as well. What is John, you, writing for PC Magazine this week?
What was I writing? I just finished the column, too. It's funny how quickly I forget.
Yeah, like from yesterday.
Yeah, it's it doesn't take long.
Fake news was last week.
Yeah, no, I did fake news already. This one was about it was pretty. I think it's going to be interesting. I'm just trying to think of what the actual theme was. I know this is kind of funny. I'd have to look it up. I'll think about it in a second. You caught me off guard.
All right. Well, let's take a look at the stocks that we talk about each and every week. It's a game that we play. It's not a recommendation to buy or sell any security. And if you do, in fact, decide for whatever reason to buy any of these or to think about doing a shorting belong or long of these securities, aside from doing your due diligence, please seek professional financial advice. John T. Dvorak, myself, Horowitz Company. Clients may own some of these stocks. If they do, well, we'll mention it here. And we have a list.
I got to read what is it?
What is it?
It's about chatbots. Microsoft came out with their new chatbot. So I wrote a whole bunch of stuff about how chatbots are going to take over as advertising vehicles.
So annoying. So annoying.
So you would have a chatbot coming up to you, but instead of asking you to go to a porn site, it would ask you to go to DH Unplugged.
Well, that I could do.
Or it would tell you to go buy some toothpaste or all these other things. And so the whole world would be taken over by these things, and I call that the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah. I don't want anybody telling me what to do, much less somebody that's not somebody.
Chatbots.
Ugh. I get a vision of these horrible things. Them and then we got, and they'll be in your cars telling you things. And all want this? Does everybody want this? Could somebody vote against this, please? Yeah. I mean, God, this whole thing is getting out of hand. And I'm not just saying this from a old codgerly style of, you know, just being a grump. I mean, come on, really, seriously, this stuff is getting stupid.
Well, tell that to those phone services when you call somebody, some corporate number, and they go take it through one of those menus. You know, dial, push one for English, push two for Spanish, push three for Russian, push one if you have a question, push two if you don't. You know, it goes on and on for days. That's a chat bot.
Mm. It's like the phone trees.
Yeah, horrible.
Yeah. All right, so why don't you take a run through the stocks that are on the list?
Yeah, well. Again, I have to do something, which I'm doing as we speak.
Are you on a lounger when we do this? What's your setup there? You relaxed? You seem kind of relaxed.
Okay, pretty relaxed. Okay, so here's all our companies. The only thing that's actually outrageously kicked butt is our joint pick of Barclays, which is still sitting there since when it was the 6/28, since June. We bought into it right after the Brexit, and it's gone up almost 60% after it went down a little bit. And we picked it up at the bottom. I think we're pretty close to the bottom. I think the bottom was maybe, I don't know, 6.
Yeah,
this we got it at 7.27.
Yeah, it was a good pick. It's amazing.
That was it's our best pick so far. It's the pick of the year, actually.
I think so. Then besides your Netflix, your Netflix was good.
The Netflix is hanging in there.
It was. Yeah, it was. It's gone.
We got the 21st Century Fox looks good. That was all insiders, and that's finally catching up to what it should have been doing. Yeah, the shorts are doing well, except for the newest short, which was your new short of U.S. Steel, which you got kicked out. Mm-hmm. The other two shorts, Apple short, which is mine, is still up barely, and the Herbalife short, which is yours, is way up.
You know, it's funny. I looked at that today. I look at it all the time, but you know what? I have to put a disclosure that we own that. We're short that as a company for our clients. What's interesting about that is I realized where it was, but I was looking at it very closely today. That is really substantial. compared to where everything was with Icon buying, you know, he's going to buy the company, all that. This is, you know, you have to look at this, and I'm not taking anything away from the brilliance of Carl Icahn, but it just shows you not to be scared if the thesis is intact. Because the thesis was, if you remember, that aside from Icahn is bluffing, that the company was required to change their entire operating process, their entire company's way of doing business, which in a sense would kill the company.
I always got the impression Icahn was not just bluffing. I think he was trying to get out.
Right. Well, that's the same thing. Bluffing that it's going to go higher and buy so he can turn around and sell it in the background. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Because you may have a long-term winner here. This thing can go down to $20 or lower.
Exactly. I'm looking forward to it. Nice.
Everything
profit.
Else is kind of mediocre. We had kicked out of United States Steel. Ocean Power Technologies, another one I recommended against.
Yeah, and that was a 20%. So therefore, it went up by 10-12% and then got cracked.
Yeah, well. And then the other screwy one, which is mine, which
Beijing.
Was...
Beijing.
Yeah, the Beijing. I still think of something. It's a big fan of the Baker Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to keep an eye on that one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's bounced off the list here. And I got nothing for this week.
Yeah, I got nothing, too. Last one was Resolution Energy. And I always call it Renewable Energy. I don't know why I do it. But anyway, it's called Resolute Energy. And obviously with the movement of some of the things in the area. This is kind of the top end for that. I'm a little bit worried about that at this point. The stock itself is... at about 33.80, 35 is kind of towards the top end of this whole thing. We'll see how this plays out. If in fact oil does start coming down here, and if energy kind of collapses a little bit after the people get the thought that, you know, we just cannot trust OPEC.
Yeah, well, it's not. Yeah, it won't take much.
Yeah.
All right, so we're both out this week, and we'll be back on next week, and maybe we'll have something to pick.
That would be a good idea, except looking for something to profit on. All right, I will speak to you on next Tuesday.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.